Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to read verses 8 to 24. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favour, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances. To say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. They will feed beside the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat nor the sun beat down on them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the region of Aswan. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. Your children hasten back, and those who laid you waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your children gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them as ornaments. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were ruined and made desolate, and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people, and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the nations. I will lift up my banner to the peoples. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their hips. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Can plunder be taken from warriors? Or captives be rescued from the fierce? This is the word of the Lord.
Well, let me say again, happy Mother's Day on this special day. I wonder what's happened in your house this morning for mums. If you've got little ones, I wonder if they brought you breakfast in bed, maybe some pancakes with maple syrup or some bacon and eggs to start the day. Of course, you realise if they did make you breakfast and brought it to you in bed, your kitchen now looks something like this. Something exciting for you to go home to. Maybe you've had a special gift-giving ceremony with presents lovingly picked out by children from the Mother's Day fundraising stall at school. And what are your plans for today? Is it lunch for your wife? Lunch for your mother? Lunch for your mother-in-law? Why don't you get them all together and just see what happens? I don't know what your plans are. If you haven't done anything yet, don't have plans, I've got some access to some pretty handy research that might just help you out. Let's have a look at that. What mums really want for Mother's Day. There it is, the pie chart. And if you analyse that, if that's correct, then it looks like your best bet today is to take mum out for fish and chips and then take the kids out and let her binge on Netflix and then let her fall asleep. And that must be right because I found it on the internet, right? How are you going to honour the mothers in your life? How are we going to make mothers feel special, to make them feel like all the hard work is worth it? It's a good thing to honour mums. In some ways, Mother's Day is just an example of what we all want. We all want to be loved. We all want to feel like We make a difference in the world. We all want to be known and appreciated, not necessarily with fanfare or big parade, but to be known for who we are, to be loved for who we are. That's why forgetting something like Mother's Day can be so devastating. Not because it's some sort of social ritual that's got to be ticked off. It's because it can play to the heart of a mother's deepest fear, of all of our deepest fears. That fear that no one really knows me. Or no one really cares who I am or what I do. That fear of being unloved and unlovely. If you've ever felt like that, or if you're feeling like that today, then you're not alone. I remember seeing Oprah give an acceptance speech at some awards ceremony once, and she said someone had asked her why her show was so popular, why people wanted to watch her, and she said, "People just want to know that they're worth something. And I make them feel like they are." I think she was right. That is what people want. Well, today I want to show you from the Bible how that deepest need inside each one of us has been met by the God of the Bible. And I want to give you a chance to grab hold of that deep, knowing love for yourself if you've never done it before. So in the rest of my time this morning, I want to look at three things that the Bible says about our quest as human beings to find love. Where we taste it, why we lose it, and how we can get and keep it. So firstly, where we taste love. Now I'm actually surprised you to know that the Bible is actually a love story. It's a story made up of all sorts of little stories and all sorts of books and all sorts of characters, but overarching all of that, there is one story that holds the whole thing together, and that is the love story between God and the people that he made. Now, Paul just read to us a bit of the Bible from a book called Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet, one of God's spokespeople on earth. And by the time that Isaiah was writing, by the time he was speaking and writing, all sorts of things have happened in the story between God and his people. In fact, God's people by this stage had betrayed God over and over like an unfaithful spouse. But God had not given up on her. In fact, God had made promises that he would restore his people, that he would bless them, that he would build them up to be more beautiful than they had ever been before. He would lavish his attention on them. Now, in the face of those promises, God's people speak back to him. And they speak a thought that echoes in the heart of each one of us. It's there in verse 14 of Isaiah 49, that reading we heard from the Bible. "But Zion said," and Zion, he stands for God's people. "Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me.'" The cry of God's people here is that they could never receive God's lavish attention like he promised. After all that they've done, after the way that they have repeatedly betrayed God, how could God pay them any attention at all? Now, they stood convinced they were unloved and unlovely. Now, God's response to his people there in Isaiah is fascinating. God wants his people to know that they are loved. So where does he go to show them an example of profound love? Look what he says in the next verse, in verse 15. He says, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child that she is born?" That's a rhetorical question. Of course she can't. Now, I don't want us to miss this. I don't want the mothers here today to miss this. When the God who made the world and everything in it wants to give an example of profound love, he points to mothers. Mothers are where we have the chance to taste profound love in this life. Now, I know that not everyone has experienced their mother like this, and I'll say something about that in a few moments. But I think anyone who reflects on the best example of mothers would agree that they will love without limits. I remember watching my wife nursing our three boys for the first year of their lives. Her willingness to be woken at any hour of the night and to feed with a look of delight on her face. She didn't count the cost of exhaustion. She delighted in the chance to give them what they needed. I think of my own mother, who passed away earlier this year, who loved me despite all my smart aleck, backhanded comments as a narky teenager. I know it's hard to believe I wasn't always this awesome, okay? I've seen mothers sacrifice possible careers so that they could be advocates for their disabled children, going into the wasteland that is trying to find information how to navigate parenting children like that. I've seen mothers with bruised souls turn around and embrace their children again when they come to their senses and come home. I've seen mothers just grab on and hug their kids when they were at the end of their bag of tricks or things to say. They just hugged them and overcame despair with a motherly embrace. And no doubt you can think of many more scenes of such love. Now, friends, if you've experienced anything like this, you are deeply blessed. And to the mothers who've shown this kind of love, we want to say thank you on a day like this. God put mothers on earth that we might have the chance to taste profound love, to taste that sense of being known and for being treasured for who we are, not for what we achieve. And so, in the love story of the Bible, when God wants to give a flesh and blood example of love to his people, he points straight at mothers. That's where they can taste love, the love that we crave as human beings. But not everyone experiences motherhood like this. Which brings me to my second point this morning, why we lose love. And when we've noticed how wonderful a mother's love can be, it's a little surprising what God says next in that reading from Isaiah. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me." But can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you, says God. Though she may forget? Really? How could he say that after we've just considered about his mother's love? But then, not everyone has had a mother that they could point to as an example of love. I know a young man whose mother left him with his grandparents when he was a baby and never came back. I know someone else whose mother destroyed her emotionally, and she battles with depression every day as a result. And no doubt there are more examples that you know of. For some people, thinking about motherhood just brings pain for all sorts of reasons. And this brings us back to the big storyline of the Bible. The love relationship between God and his people was broken by his people's choice to follow anything else but God as the guiding light for their life. It was broken by their choice of self, I'll choose what's right and wrong for me, rather than trusting in the God who made them to love them and direct their lives. And that has led humanity in general choosing self over God, self over other, time and time and time again. And that is the root of all the problems that you'll see on the news. When you think it through and boil it down, that's what's at the heart of all of it. And in the fallout from this, even a mother's love can be corrupted. Now, we take it as a given that fathers mess up all the time. You know, I have a great case study to provide the evidence. That's me, okay? But in the fallout from the broken relationship with God, even mothers can make choices out of pride rather than sacrifice. Even mothers can choose to be selfish rather than giving. Even mothers can turn off the tap of love towards their children. And as for those mothers who don't do that, who are exceptional, who are the taste of profound love in our lives, even they will be stolen away by death. And there are those here today who feel that acutely. They knew that love, and death has taken it away. And they don't know where they'll ever find it again. We lose love because sin can corrupt it, and death can take it away from us. Which all sounds pretty bleak on a day like today, isn't it? Jeez, lighten up, Keith. Wow. Hang on, it gets better. Because that's not the last word. That brings me to my third and final point this morning. How we find and keep love. Look how our Bible passage ends up. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, says God, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me. God here is saying, my love is stronger even than a mother's love, which you know is pretty strong. My love is stronger. Engraved you on the palms of my hands, he says. Now, what's going on there? We can easily miss the significance of that. In the days Isaiah was writing, it wasn't uncommon for a slave to have their master's name written on their arms. But the master never wrote the slave's name on their arm. It would have been unthinkable for the master to stoop so low to write the slave's name on their arms, let alone their hands. But even more is being said here. Our names will be engraved on God's hands. Flesh will be damaged. There will be scars that speak of love on his hands. He will even come down. He will stoop low to show us how much he loves us. And it will be a love that can never forget. That Bible passage ends by saying, your walls are ever before me. It's a reference to the city of Jerusalem, the city that stood for God establishing his people in a place. He's saying, the walls will ever be before me. In other words, you will always be on my mind. They'll ever be before me. 24/7, I will be thinking about you because I love you. That's what God's saying here. Now, words like this are all well and good. But everyone knows that words of love need to be backed by actions. The kid who says to mum, I love you, is nice. But the kid who says, I love you, mum, and follows it with a bear hug, has nailed it. Right, mums? Words and actions. How do we know that God has delivered a love like this? Let alone how we can grab hold of it for ourselves to know that that includes me, includes you. Well, many years later, Thomas, one of Jesus' closest disciples, he was asking the same question. I mean, Jesus had said he was God to Thomas and the others. Jesus had said to them that he had come to earth to show the love of God, to show the love of the Father to them. But how was that possible? They were just words, and then he died. And so Thomas was left with questions like, how does that love work? Just words. And then Easter Sunday, John's Gospel. The other disciples told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "Oh, my Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you've seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not yet seen and yet believed." Jesus is God's demonstration of his love for us. His love for each one of us who fail to be perfect. His love for each one of us who long to know that we're known. Who long to know that we are loved for who we are. His death on the cross has paid for every time we've failed to live up even to our own standards, let alone God's. There on the cross, Jesus wrote your name on his hands. And in his resurrection, he shows them to you and says, "You are ever before me. You are always on my mind if you will let me love you." So right now, as I finish up, I want to give you a chance to grab this love for yourself, to know that it's your name written on his hands, to know that that love that's been promised and demonstrated is for you, to be the bedrock of your life. Whether you're having a great Mother's Day or a terrible one, whether you've nailed it with getting presents and looking after your mum or your wife, or whether you've forgotten and you're in the doghouse, God will love you. God has loved you in his Son. So what I'm going to do is pray a simple prayer. Let me show you what that prayer says first. It says this: "Dear God, thanks that you love us with a love even stronger than a mother's love. Thanks that you showed us that love in Jesus' death for us and his resurrection from the dead. Please forgive me for the times I've chosen self over you and others. Please help me to choose you each day from now on and know that I am loved beyond measure." That's the prayer. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pray that prayer slowly and line by line. I'm going to ask everybody here in the room, whether you've prayed this before, whether you don't really want to pray it, or whether you want to pray it, I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes right now. Can I ask you to do that? And I'm going to pray this prayer slowly, line by line. And if you want to grab hold of that love more profound than even a mother's love, then you pray this, and you'll be laying both hands on it right now. Here we go. Dear God, thanks that you love us with a love even stronger than a mother's love. Thanks that you showed us that love in Jesus' death for me and his resurrection from the dead. Please forgive me for the times I have chosen self over you and others. Please help me to choose you each day from now on and know that I am loved beyond measure. Amen. Well, thank you for being part of all of that. There will be a number of different types of people in the room right now that we've done that. There'll be some for whom you prayed that prayer, you know Jesus, you prayed that prayer a long time ago and you know that love. And that has borne you through the many valleys in life and taken you to many hilltops. Praise God. Be reminded and refreshed and strengthened in that love again today. There are some who, out of social etiquette, bowed their heads and closed their eyes because I asked them to, even though they really, really, really didn't want to, kind of doing it under sufferance to be polite. Thank you. Thank you for staying and doing that and not walking out in the middle of the talk. Can I ask you, if you've never thought about Jesus or this sort of love, don't put it on the I'll do it one day list. It's too important. There'll be some for whom today has stirred up some thoughts or some questions about Jesus. Maybe you weren't ready to kind of commit with a prayer like that today, but there's some questions that maybe you'd like to have answered, and we would love to help you with that. I'll be down the back, the welcome desk, along with others. If you want to come and ask some questions today, I'd love to do that. If you even want to just send us an email, we can come and meet you out of the intensity of the day. You've got to get to a Mother's Day lunch. You can't do that today. But don't let it go. We'd love to follow you up and answer the questions that you have. But there may be some for whom today God spoke to you directly. You recognize that deep need and it hasn't been met by anything else in life. And God spoke to you today that a love even more profound than a mother's is yours. And you prayed that prayer line by line. You grabbed hold of that love. Praise God if that's you. If that's you, definitely come and talk to us. Because we would love to help you with the next steps to start walking, knowing that love is yours and what it looks like from here on in. Thanks and happy Mother's Day, everyone. And I think we're going to sing. And as we sing, we're going to receive our offertory that we might keep being able to proclaim that love in our city and beyond our shores.